I'm Chris Retz.
I'm Jack Mottman.
We are sitting here with Nate and Kaylee Highfield, who are musicians, songwriters, woo, producers.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add to that?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's all cool.
Music. Right, so this is three blind drinks, and we are going to taste three whiskeys blind. We don't know what they are. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get to know each other and drink these whiskeys pretty slowly. It's imperative that we drink them slowly.
I think so.
All right. Yeah.
So here we go. Number one.
We don't know what they are, but we know that they are whiskey.
Yeah. Whiskeys. Cool.
Very indistinct bottles.
Let me set the stage here. We are in Nate and Kaylee's home recording studio. There's Beatles posters on the wall. I see Jagger and Richards over there. There's plenty of records stuffed in various orifices throughout the room. And then there's, of course, all kinds of equipment as well. And I can't think of a better place to record a podcast, personally.
That's great. Cool. So what do you guys smell in this? So the big first question for you both is, what's your experience with whiskey? Like, where has whiskey intersected with your life? What's the first time you had whiskey?
You got something?
So the first time I had whiskey, I don't remember where I was, but I got an old fashioned. Because someone else ordered, probably you, Nate, ordered an old fashioned.
It's probably because of Mad Men.
Sure.
Probably was a Mad Men.
You know, old fashioned, wasn't that the Mad Men drink?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'll have that. And it was like the smokiest and sweetest, like didn't expect to love it as much as I did. But I think that's my first experience, was having an old fashioned. And then, of course, we're in love with like Irish music and folk songs, and that's all like whiskey and Guinness. And so also sort of just in love with it in sort of a romantic way for a really long time. And then I actually tasted it and it was like, wow, this is really good.
It didn't make me as attractive as the Mad Men dude.
It didn't.
I was hoping it would work. It gave me some kind of suave
Nate's thing a blonde man
when I was holding the old fashioned
Mad Men dude. Let's be honest.
You can't see it, but Nate is swirling.
Constantly swirling.
Which that's one of my instincts as well, is to swirl.
Yeah,
I sniff.
In the unaired episode that will never see the light of day, we talked a lot about how Chris loves to swirl his whiskey.
Oh.
He really
wants to like see the legs. He wants to understand it like
the
a
legs.
Wine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not so seeing. I'm
if
not
you
seeing
roll it around, like set it on its side and roll it around, that's supposed to release a bunch of vapors.
Okay.
So like,
and then you should just like take a big whiff.
Okay.
And open your mouth while you smell. So.
Oh, that's much nicer.
Yeah, no,
it was
I
making me choke when I just
taste,
did it through my
I
nose.
Don't know these things.
Yeah, if you open your mouth while you smell, it's supposed to help you smell more and be a little bit more nuanced.
I have never heard that. That's
so what do you smell? It smells sweet to me.
I was about to say caramel.
Yeah.
Caramel
is what I'm
going to
go with.
I think it's a bourbon. Like, I'm going to go so far as to say it's a bourbon.
Now, what does that say to you, Jack, when you say, I think it's a bourbon?
Like, it means what? American.
Okay.
It means it was aged in new oak.
Kentucky, right?
It doesn't have to be Kentucky. Bourbon just means 51% corn.
Okay.
Oh, I had no idea.
I didn't either.
All right, I'm tasting mine.
All right.
Candied apple.
Goes right through my nose.
It's very sweet. I love it.
It's very sweet. It's nice. I like it. I say that every time.
I haven't had one yet that I have not liked.
That's probably why you're doing this podcast.
So I was going to say this before during the sniffing phase.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I'm kind of feeling floral.
Oh. Ooh. What kind of flowers are you floraling?
All right. How about this? Rose.
Stop it.
Anyone?
Anyone check out Rose? Do you smell Rose? The question is Rose. Everyone? Do I have a second?
Chris is my older brother, so I'm tempted to say yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing we didn't disclose yet.
Great.
Cat's out of the bag.
It's now all happening.
Edit that out.
Let's get into it, guys. Let's get into all of it.
So did you drink before you were 21?
I did not.
Chris, did you drink before you were 21?
So in our unaired episode that will never see the light of day, I told the story that for whatever reason, whatever psychological makeup I have, whenever my parents told me not to do something, like drink before I was 21, I was like, okay, yeah, that seems reasonable. And I didn't do it, which, I don't know, it seems weird to me, right? Like, you're supposed to kind of rebel.
Well, so, like, I had the same thing. Like, my parents didn't explicitly say, like, don't drink. They just were like, be responsible. But then I hung out with a lot of older people when I was in college. And I remember this guy, very specifically Josh, just being like, I mean, I don't think you're going to abuse it. No one here thinks you're going to abuse it. But he was like, but I waited. So I feel like you should wait.
I appreciate that.
I do. I really appreciate that.
We're all
that.
Cut from the same cloth, I guess. Same thing. I didn't really have a drop until much later.
Bunch of non-rebels here.
Yeah. But they also told me not to, like, jump off a cliff, and I didn't do that either. So, like, I mean,
right.
Yeah, it worked out.
So they had that going for them.
But this does taste good. So this is not what it tastes like, but The way it, like, moves through your nose, I feel like reminds me of wasabi.
Oh, interesting.
It just goes boom and explodes through your face.
Yeah, that, like, fire.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, really good. In the previously unaired episode that we'll never see the light of day, you mentioned paint thinner, which was obviously not...
Right, so I use paint thinner. I use paint thinner as a way to identify how much alcohol is in this.
Like, yes,
if I smell paint thinner or if I taste paint thinner, I either think it's a young whiskey or it's like high alcohol content.
Not as smooth.
Right, not a spoon
down.
Necessarily. Yeah,
I know what you mean.
I'm going to say high alcohol in this one.
You think so?
Not because it smells bad, but I get a little...
I was going to say young, and I was going to say, like, maybe not... Okay, so price doesn't matter. Things all come down to how available it is and rarity, but I think this is a cheap whiskey.
Interesting.
Jack, if you feel comfortable saying, what is a cheap whiskey? I'm asking for a dollar amount here, but I'm not asking for a name.
Under $20.
Okay,
to me,
right.
It's cheap.
It has to be bad.
Cool. Like Bullet is probably my introduction whiskey. It's one of my favorite whiskeys to get anyone started. It's cheap. Like, it's like $23 to $30 depending on your Trader Joe's situation.
Yeah. I love the Trader Joe's situation.
I'm getting a much warmer thing going on right now, out of nowhere.
Right,
it just hit me right now. I thought you should know.
So we talked a bit about body before, which I don't know if I'm even using the right term.
So
when
Chris,
I say body.
Chris, I believe, is a super taster. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if he's ever had it tested. He supposedly was a sommelier of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Ironic.
But Chris always, I think, is able to pick out how long does a thing last? How long does it stick around with you?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Like, so do you guys feel like, okay, you've taken a break from it. Do you still taste it?
Totally.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, so like it's warming my throat right now, like minutes later,
like
since my last sip. I don't know what's...
I don't know
if that's the taste, but...
And also, can a whiskey be spicy?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm definitely getting some spice.
What kind of spice?
Like, I want to say almost like a, I don't know, not like a jalapeno, but like that sort of spice. Not like a Christmas spice, not like a mulled wine.
Like a spice.
Like a spice, yeah.
Like a spicy spice.
This plant, if this whiskey was a plant, it would be, its defense mechanism would be burning my tongue off.
So we like to name each of our whiskeys because we only know them by number 1, 2, or 3. So I'm already, this is early, guys, but I'm going to call this one Stinging Nettles.
Ooh. Oh,
that's good. Because
it kind of all hit us a little bit.
It did, and it's still there.
And it's still tingling.
It's still going.
Nettles, I love it. Okay, so we all did what we were supposed to do.
To drinking before 21.
That's correct.
Oh, I see.
What our parents told us to do.
Yeah.
Once you were 21, I assume that was...
I went ballistic.
Yeah.
No,
do you not remember anything from age 21 to age 24?
No. No. If you want to know the real truth, I think the first time we...
That's why we're here.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for you. The first time I drank
Nate.
More than two or three... Gesturing to Nate. drinks at a time was on our honeymoon.
Oh.
Which was super fun. Because just only because there was so much I hadn't tried. Not that we don't remember our honeymoon or anything. Like, not that it was that kind of thing. But, you know, like, what's a whiskey sour? Like, well, let's try
not
that.
Good.
Let's try that. Yeah. Hate whiskey sours, by
kind
the
of
way.
Kind of sour, as it turns
Love
out.
Love whiskey. Not into the whiskey sours. That's not a thing. So, yeah, I would say that's the first real time for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Not that
what
that's...
about you? When you, Nate, when you started drinking, like, what was your drink of choice?
When I first met Nate, he was a rock star. Mm.
And is to this day.
I mean, he's
so
still,
heroin was the drink of choice.
He's yeah. still a rock star.
His but, hair is less short.
We're but... talking like playing the Viper Room yeah. and wow. the whole nine. Yeah, that's right.
It was probably chips and salsa with Corona. That was the drink with yeah. Corona. I mean, I feel like that's the ideal.
Well, when you're touring, that's the cheap meal, right? You yeah. can go to any sort of bar and be like, hey, we can't pay you, but can we eat chips and salsa?
Yeah, on tour, we actually would go and order no food and have a drink or whatever and get chips and salsa and left.
Dinner! That's People were unhappy with
us. Or go to Costco.
When did you start touring?
That was, right after college.
Okay.
So...
How old were you when that? How old?
24. Okay. Whenever I, however, I will.
Yeah, you were probably 24.
After college.
That makes sense. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with that. 23, 24.
Yeah. All over the United States.
Yes, all over, and in a van that broke down about 18 times. I think we paid $3,000 for the van, and ended up paying $12,000 in repairs.
Oh, wow.
So. But not listen, our wisest
your
investment?
Tour like had the van not broken down as many times as it had, they would have totally made money on the tour.
Nice.
But the van sucked.
They spend on the van.
Yeah.
You made enough to spend
they
on
made
the van.
Enough to not go yeah in debt because of the van, which I think is a real success. That's like a really big deal, right?
So what I'm getting here is if you're talking to any young musicians out there who are perhaps heading out on their first tour, spend a little bit more money up front on
the
van.
On the van, yeah.
Well
as
worth
opposed
it.
To. Okay.
Although the memories are priceless.
Priceless memories. Like the
do
windshield
have,
thing?
Do you have your go-to, like your wife has heard it a million times, your go-to tour story?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So,
oh, she's motioning. Yeah, she's saying you're the driving story.
It looks
story.
Like she's doing
and
the
guys,
driving
video.
Motion. But
post later because it is the best thing you will ever see.
We'll send you some supplementary video for this.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Everyone.
So, so van that broke down about 18 times. What did I say? I don't want to be inconsistent. So 19 times during the tour.
You said it cost $12,000.
Exactly. So we're driving in, I think, Virginia somewhere, and it starts pouring rain. And, you know, we're on the freeway just driving away. And suddenly the windshield wipers just stop.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we're on like a tiny overpass too. It's like a 2-lane thing. We're switching freeways and we're like, screaming. And our bass player who's like 6'6" and has these massive arms reaches out and starts working the windshield wipers
by hand.
Amazing. Swishing them back and forth. And this was like after our final show. So we were like on our way across the country. So we're Virginia to California was the trip we were making.
Well, and you have how many hours to get to your next show?
No, it was done. Right? So we were going across the country. We were like dying to get home.
Oh,
so
okay. Then, I didn't know if you had to be somewhere by a certain time or whatever.
No, so yeah. We were just so ready to be home. Yeah. And it was pouring rain. Windshield wipers didn't work. It was a Sunday. We were in the South and everything was closed.
Of course.
So we ended up finding a 99-cent store that was open. And we bought a bunch of string from the 99-cent store.
Wow.
tied a piece to each windshield wiper, rigged it through like the the little handles, you know, at the top, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And we had a guy behind the driver with a piece and a guy in the passenger seat, and they would go back and forth pulling it. And it rained for like, no kidding, like 8 to 10 hours of our drive. And we actually like burned or wore a groove into the car from pulling the thing so many times. It was the craziest. But we made it.
the guy on the left would pull, and I would be like, you, and then the guy on the right would pull, and it's back and forth, and the video is priceless, because it shows them all excited, like, yeah, we're gonna make it, and then it's like 6 hours later, and it's the same guys in the same seats, so tired, like, oh my god, kill me, left, wow. pull, right, Paul,
so how long did you have to do it?
It's hilarious.
I would say probably about 8 or 10 hours. Wow. Yeah, of that drive, because we were driving all the way like to Texas or something like that from Virginia that day. Wow. I think we were going to try and go all the way through, but yeah, it was good.
The things you do for art.
That's amazing.
Exactly. That's how much we believed in ourselves.
Sure. Yeah.
Take a lesson.
And you know how much? You know what Disney says? If you just believe in yourself, anything is possible.
So he does say that. From time to time.
Disney said that?
Guys, full disclosure, my little taste is gone. Oh. I'm sniffing the remnants. Mm. And call me crazy.
Any final thoughts on this one?
I just smell caramel. I just smell straight up delicious caramel.
I do smell the caramel now.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Try this one on for size. Cedar. Mm.
Cedar. Okay, I firmly believe that when he says cedar, that actually means oak.
Oh!
You mean a tree.
I think he means a tree.
You're so right. I
think some sort of wood,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a woody caramel.
Home Depot.
Yes, it's Home Depot.
Okay. Oh, so what I'm smelling is wood finish.
Yes.
That's the alcohol. Yes.
What I'm smelling is our fathers going into Home Depot and all of us being like, no, anything else but that.
That's right.
Yep.
Yes. This is childhood.
For correct.
I like it though.
A very specific kind of childhood is this whiskey.
That's this whiskey.
Being drug around Home Depot looking for screws.
Yeah. Okay, so stinging nettle. Is that
we're gonna call it stinging nettles? Are we happy with that? All right, so we're back. We've all got round two in our glass.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, very different.
Oh, we already have a very different. Oh yeah, I've also smelled. It smells very different.
No, I haven't smelled yet. I'm looking at the color. It looks very similar in color to the last one we had.
I agree.
But both of them are on the dark-ish side of whiskey, right?
Yeah.
And they both have kind of this reddish tint to them. Am I crazy?
I would say it's got some red in it for
sure.
You're
so crazy.
Some reddish gold.
I can't even.
She's colorblind.
I am.
Are you really?
A little bit.
Isn't that rare for a lady?
It is rare for a lady, but I'm not super colorblind. It's close colors.
She's a rare lady,
I'm colorblind the way my dad is colorblind, so it's the same degree.
What is that, certain colors? So like red and...
So close colors. So if it's like navy blue, black, dark green,
I
can't really tell.
Red whiskey.
Red, orange. Mm. If they're close, I'll say it so many times. I've come home and I've been like... Look at this cool sweater I got. It's navy blue. And he's like, yeah, I love it. It's purple. And I'm like, you're so nice to me. It's still cool if it's purple.
That's a real friend right there.
It is.
Yeah. Sour apple. Yeah. Jolly Rancher.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You smelling or tasting?
Smelling.
Okay, totally. So call
I can feel that.
A novice, which I totally am. But this one, I just get more of an alcohol smell.
Okay, like more or less?
More, like the first one I smell a lot of like sweetness, and this I don't know why. I just smell a lot of like that strong, like upfront alcohol.
I don't know if I'm easily suggestible, but I'm totally picking up
the
what
sour
Nate
apple.
Highfield is throwing down.
Right.
There is like this higher end sweet sour.
I think green Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, like, that's what
actually like not sour apple, but like green Jolly Rancher more than anything.
Specifically the green Jolly. Yeah, that's it took
we
me
had
to that
some
place.
Right now. Don't you?
We could do a pairing.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Jolly Rancher and
Toast. I just
Toast
took a sip.
Be pairings.
To me it's very thin. But it, I don't know, it's, I'm still formulating.
So we're talking mouthfeel here. Nate, Kaylee, what do you guys think upon first taste?
I agree. It is more thin.
Yeah.
Not as full, not as complex.
Maybe,
perhaps.
Maybe a little vanilla in there.
Oh my.
In the taste.
Oh,
maybe.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
No? I could be nuts.
I don't think you are.
I think the vanilla is right.
Yeah.
This is all subjective. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there who are also tasting with us, like, There's no wrong way to drink this whiskey, any whiskey. You could put it on ice. You could have it with Coke. You could do whatever you want. As long as you like it, that's all that matters.
You could have it in an old fashioned.
I've heard those are good, but you know.
They're so good.
You know what I like in an old fashioned? Which is, I think is in every old fashioned. Bitters.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of the thing for me. That's like the thing that comes through and I'm like, oh yeah.
You should just drink Manhattans.
Now I'm drinking an old fashioned.
You should, because old fashions have sugar cubes in them, so they're going to be sweet.
Oh,
so you should drink a Manhattan because it's just
Manhattan
vermouth.
Manhattan is like, is it like a martini, but just whiskey?
Yeah, I mean, it's so like, they say it's like a stirred cocktail. So like it's stirred with ice and then strained. So it's just booze.
Oh,
there's no like, it's not over the rock, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Now, I still, the like tangy fruity thing is coming forward to me.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's some, so last time I was talking about the jalapeno type of spice.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about the other, like the holiday spice.
Oh, like a baking
like the,
clove. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Is that because we were just talking about bitters? I don't know.
You are very suggestible.
I seem to be. Yeah, I seem to be.
But I'm getting a pizza kind of thing. What do you think, Chris?
That'll be here in 20 minutes.
P.S.
Or it's free.
You can order pizza. Right now. Let's do that.
All right. So, so I want to pick up on something you briefly mentioned while we were tasting the last whiskey, and that is Ireland.
Yeah, you said that you love Irish music and you like Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. How did this come into be?
It was basically we were struggling musicians at the time and decided we needed to perform. So we were looking for any place we could play a show, and we called up a ton of restaurants, and we called up Ladyface Brewery in Agoura Hills.
3 miles away.
Yep. And we just said, hey, can we play some music at your place? And they said, yeah, sure. Do you guys know a whole bunch of Irish songs? Because it's St. Patrick's Day coming up. And we said,
yes.
Yes, we do.
That's funny. You should mention that.
We've been working on that for years. No, we hadn't actually ever listened to any Irish folk songs. But we thought, well, we need some money. So let's learn some Irish folk songs. We started learning, and we learned like 2 or 3 hours worth of material.
Wow.
And it was like, we fell in love with the music.
The best music on this planet, man. Like, it's great. It's a wonderful.
Yeah. And so that was, I mean, we played until our fingers were bleeding at that place. We had 3 hours worth of material, but we played for about 5 to 6 hours.
Cause the guy was like,
someone canceled.
Oh, so-and-so canceled. Can you keep going? And we're like, yeah, we keep going. And like, oh, the next band canceled too. Can you keep going? And we're like, yeah, we just keep going. And like, I think the coolest thing about that day is that there was a legit Irishman in the bar that kept buying us beers because he was like, I can't go home.
That's not a good Irish accent. I feel like I'm home.
I'm not trying to be Irish. I'm trying to be myself.
Try it.
Saying what the Irishman said.
Sure, and I can't go home right now.
No, but he was like, I'm not home and I can't go home, but like, you guys, like, these are the songs I love. And like, so that was the biggest thing to us. Like, Irish dude loves us playing these songs. Well, like, take me now, Jesus. This is like the greatest day
from
ever.
From then on, yeah, it was, we were into the Irish stuff. And then we finally went to Ireland like last year, and it was everything we wanted it to be.
Oh my gosh. You hear all these things, I think, as an American, like not being anywhere you've ever been, like you just hear all these things and you think, I hope that it's true. I hope that this is how it is when you go. And what we had heard about Ireland was, this is what they do. Like, this is their Saturday or Sunday. Like,
music.
Everyone gets, and families. Everyone gets together in a bar, kids, everyone, and sings these songs. And everyone knows them and everyone connects. And it's a community, like, wonderful thing. Wow. And so we just fell in love with the music and we're like, I really hope this is true. I don't know if it's true, but this is what we think. And we finally visited, and we ended up there on New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah.
Our favorite
place.
In
Galway.
On New Year's Eve. And, like, we went to this little bar, and it's quiet and there's nothing going on. And there's an older guy at the end of the bar and we walk in and there's no one there. And we're like, okay, I mean, it's a holiday. It's cool. Doesn't mean anything. Like, maybe things will pick up after.
Trying not to be the most disillusioned trying you've not ever to been be in like, your entire life.
I want Ireland.
And we're like, oh, can I get an IPA? And they're like, what are you talking
well,
about?
Well, he didn't say, he was super nice.
He was cool.
He rolled his eyes, but he's like, yes, I'll get you an IPA. And then he leaves for like 5 minutes, right?
He comes back.
And he comes back and he's like, yeah, we're out of that. Like, we don't have that. And we're like,
I guess a Guinness.
I guess we'll have a Guinness. And the amazing older gentleman at the end of the bar is like, why would you get anything else? And we laugh and we're like, you're so right. Like, this is dumb. Like, I'll have a Guinness for the rest of the time I'm in Ireland. I will drink a Guinness. And then he goes, by the way, do you guys like music? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, all the music is going on upstairs.
Oh.
So we literally, and you can't, I don't know why you can't hear it, but you can't. Okay. And we walk upstairs and it's the most raucousy. And again, dogs, toddlers, families, like whole communities. 100-year-old
men.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Old, young, like everyone is in this top bar on New Year's Eve. Playing their hearts out. Wow. And Nate and I were just like about to cry because we're like, this is everything I wanted it to be. This is like every time you dream of a thing and it's real. Like, it was amazing. So we were there for like 3 or 4 hours just soaking it in, and like 9-year-old kid playing the drums, and you could see how his grandfather was like playing with him and like trying to teach him, and he'd make a mistake and get all nervous, but the grandfather would be like, you know, like, not embarrassing. Like, keep going. Catch the next. It's just one of the rare times in life when you're like, wow, this is cool. And I hope that when I go and try to see it for myself, I hope it's as cool as I've built it up in my brain.
Yeah, man.
And it is.
Oh, that's great.
I hope everyone can go there someday and be in a bar and listen to that music because it's mind-blowing.
So awesome.
And last point about Ireland. They love whiskey. Mm-hmm. So I will say that. Also, the vast majority of the time that we met someone in a bar who was sick, which happened a few times for some reason, because people do not avoid the bar when they're sick in Ireland.
So just to clarify, not sick because they've been in a bar.
No.
Despite
like a cold
fact,
or a flu.
They have a cold,
I have
flu.
A cold, but we don't not go to the bar.
Right.
So here like I am, church. And it's like, and we're like, hey, what are you going to order? You look terrible. And they're like, oh, no, I'm just going to have a whiskey and lemon. And we're like, okay.
I'm not going to drink.
I'm so sick. Like, we heard a guy talking to the bartender. I'm so sick. I can't have a Guinness. Give me a whiskey. Like, that's the way it would go. I think 2 or 3 people we heard. And it's wonderful. It's everything you want it to be when you go.
That's great.
It's so great.
I love it.
So, I know this is a whiskey podcast, but true or false, Guinness tastes different in Ireland.
True. Your opinion, Nathan.
At least psychologically true.
Okay.
I would say therein it tasted better to me, but I don't know if I was fooling myself. Mm-hmm. I think it was better.
Okay. All right. I mean, how could you not? You're in a pub with people singing and there's
not
kids.
Even as strong even as here in the U.S. Like
less alcohol.
Lower alcohol content.
Really?
Pretty sure, yeah.
I think that's what
less paint thinner.
That's why they can start. Something. That's why they can start at breakfast. I guess.
It sort of made sense. We were like, "Oh, I get it," because it's lower. Yeah,
that's right. It's like kombucha or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
just like it.
And we did. I think because this is a whiskey podcast, we should mention that we went to the Jameson factory.
What did you think?
And
epic,
awesome.
I would love for you to go there.
Pointing to Jack.
Because I feel like you know so much about whiskey. So I am someone that like just likes the way things taste, but I'm not, I don't super know the difference. Mm-hmm. But when we did that tasting, what I did notice is that all the American whiskeys were really, really, really smoky.
I can tell you. It was Jameson, Irish, Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker and
Jack Daniels.
Okay.
So that would explain why you said American was smoky, because okay. Jack Daniels, like we were talking about on the thing that will never be released. Mm-hmm. So there's char levels for barrels. So bourbon has to be aged in new oak, which means it's never been used for aging before. Okay. And so inside they char it. So like you would char anything. So they have a process. So they build a barrel, it's brand new, and then they like light it on fire for a certain amount of time. And that is your char level. So the char level, an average char level is like, say, 2 to 3. That's like, and it's a range of 1 to 5.
Okay. Yeah.
Jack Daniels does not reveal how long their barrels are charred. All we know is that it's a long time.
Oh, okay.
Which explains why often Jack Daniels, people associate it with smoke.
So much. Like.
But I remember thinking that the Johnny Walker was like extremely smoky.
Well, it depends which Johnny Walker.
Okay, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Because Johnny Walker, it goes from red to like gold. Okay. They're all colors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so red is the cheapest. And it goes all the way up to like blue is what most people treat. You know, like if you say I want an expensive Johnny Walker, it's blue. They're all blended. And Johnny Walker, I think black or green is considered like the smoky one. I can't remember which.
Okay. This
one. What should we call this one?
I would call it Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
The fruit definitely came forward. I would say mouthfeel was about the same. Color was about the same. Sweetness was about the same. The big difference between the first one and the second one to me was one was kind of spicy prickly and one was a little bit more fruity. Maybe a little bit more inviting for that reason.
Inviting? Ooh. I like
says,
that.
Says, come on in.
Yeah, come on in and like sing an Irish folk song.
Jolly Rancher.
Right. Jolly Rancher.
Okay.
I like it.
We've poured the third.
The third one.
Let's talk about color here because I think
it's lighter, color. Right?
It's significant.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, I'm already excited.
It's like almost yellow Why? In color.
Dive in, Jack.
I'm excited because it smells completely different, especially than two. So I think maybe one and three maybe are similar. I'd have to revisit that. But
I agree.
This feels much richer.
Yeah.
It has it's like darker, redder fruits that have been stewed on the stove and it's like Christmas time and maybe somebody threw cloves in there. Ooh. And it's like, what's going on over there? Are you going to add alcohol to that? And is it Christmas time? What's going on? Mm. Like, that's what I'm getting out
like
of
like a mulled wine almost
or
something.
Mulled wine for sure.
It is totally different. I was struggling a bit trying to come up with what I thought were the differences between the first and second.
Yeah.
Not difficult at all with this one. This one is a lot.
This is completely different.
Yeah. I can't tell you why, but I think this is my favorite. It's like a very round, full experience from beginning to end. It's not too much alcohol. It's not too much. I don't know. I like everything about it.
I may have said this last time. so we've had some tastes. We've had some tastes.
It's surprising.
And there are some reactions. I think I mentioned this word last time. I don't even know if it's appropriate for whiskey, but buttery?
Oh, absolutely. So people often, because we're talking about Ireland, people often talk about butter with respect to Irish whiskey.
Oh.
And there's this huge, quote-unquote, argument about what biscuits, whether that means the cookie or the what we think of in the South as a biscuit.
Yes.
So in Ireland, it's a cookie and here, but it's the common ground is butter, right? Like,
So people are tasting a cookie or a biscuit in this, butter. But there's butter all over it.
Oh, I get. Oh.
You think this is buttery?
I'm getting the butter,
and
man.
I love it.
Yeah. Especially when I do the Jack Mottman sniff, which is the sniff with your mouth open.
Ooh.
I get like a major.
So literally never heard that before tonight, and it's like blowing my mind.
And that's not me.
Opening
that's,
my world
that's not
into
me at all.
Wonder. It is you.
I told you about it, but it's not my originality.
Well, it's you to me because I've never heard it. So you are.
We'll call
my
you
mind.
The inventor of this.
Yeah. It's you to the Highfields.
Yeah.
You to the Highfields.com.
All right. Oh, so we've had some tastes. What do you guys think? I'll taste mine right now, but let us know what you think.
I don't know what to say about it other than I'm impressed by it. And it's very buttery. It's like very luscious.
Mm.
It sticks around.
OMG.
Yeah.
It does not burn your mouth like maybe the others are a little more harsh.
Yeah.
Guys, butter.
Yeah.
Like a buttered popcorn.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Like
with a little cinnamon sugar up in there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I think cinnamon is right on.
Yeah. For sure. It's so good.
Think of the, have you guys ever had the, what are, I'm thinking Jolly Rancher now, but it's that's like not right.
Just have this for your dessert and it would be
yeah, like it feels perfect. Like dessert whiskey.
Certainly.
It's wonderful. Certainly.
So we tasted Glenmorangie last time and our favorite was this one called Quinta Ruban.
Oh.
And it was aged in port barrels. And that made us like. We were like, this is dessert and this is complicated.
Yes.
And we were all about it.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of that. In the same, like, dark, like, kind of.
So maybe that's why. Maybe there's some.
I don't know if this is related, but it's reminding me.
I know we keep attaching emotional. Well, maybe not this episode, but in the unaired episode that we'll never see the light of day, we kept attaching emotional kind of descriptors to whiskey. But so the darkness. Makes me think like broodiness, makes me think like, I don't, there's something a little bit more light and approachable about
it. But what's weird is this is the lightest one of the three.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And it's the darkest tasting, which is strange to me.
It's approachable. It's
but
like,
what is dark tasting?
You could drink it every
mean?
Day.
Like we've all said, or I said dark fruits, but like you said like dark. What does that mean?
So in our ignorance as people that taste something that we really, really like. Mm-hmm. What Nate and I say to each other, even when we don't know what's going on, we say, ooh, this tells a story.
Oh.
You know, like, you know, like, I don't just taste it and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, oh, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like that's, I mean,
it's and a journey, right?
It's the only way I know how to describe it.
Yeah.
This is really special. This is something really good. And that's what I would say about this whiskey.
Is it synonymous with uniqueness? Like,
perhaps
this is a little bit different than any other whiskey I've ever had.
It's different compared to the ones we had.
It doesn't, I wouldn't say it makes it.
But telling a story, like, is that basically another way of saying this is really unique?
No, I think it's a way of saying it gives you a longer experience.
Mm.
So I'm not saying any of these whiskeys that we've had are not good. I'm not saying the first one we tasted wasn't as good as the last one we've tasted. I'm saying for some reason, this one made me feel things longer.
Yeah.
Right? So it took you on a journey. Yeah. You were like, ooh, I taste this. Oh, I feel this. Ooh, that reminds me of this. Oh, it goes longer. It just lasts longer. It tells a little bit longer of a story. Doesn't mean it's a bad story. Doesn't mean it's a...
And it may not... Like, there could be situations where you don't want that. Like,
right.
This is something I think I'd want to sit down with and ponder.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that I want to, like, oh, I had such a day.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm finally going to drink something. I don't think this is what I'm reaching for.
No.
Like, this is not, like, my sit... I think maybe number two is that for me. Like,
oh, yeah. I totally agree with that. Totally. I totally agree with that.
Well, because number one is, I don't know, assertive is the word that keeps popping into my head, but I'm not sure that's quite right for number one. There's something just kind of very prickly and I guess assertive about number one. And number two is a little bit more like kind of comforting and familiar.
Yeah.
But I agree. This one's just so interesting. It would almost be a shame to drink it in that context because then you'd be like rushing through it and not really
like
appreciating
it. Like maybe let's
it.
Not pour Coke in number three.
Yes,
right?
Let's not.
Because there's a story to be told.
All right, so
with
I actually
three.
Just took a turn on number three.
Oh,
I don't
happened?
Know if I like it anymore.
I was okay. I was gonna be. Happened? I was gonna say let me be the dissenting opinion here.
Do it, Nathan.
No, I like
trust
it.
Your taste buds.
My dissent. I do like it, and I think it's very good. You were talking about how you attached this emotional sentimentality to ones in the your unaired episode that will never see the light of day ever for any reason.
Right.
And but the first two, my thoughts were totally. I think it was Home Depot and Jolly Rancher, which are two smells associated with things from my childhood. So so I was like Home Depot. I remember hating Home Depot and being like, actually now I kind of like it. But as a child, I was like, what, when can we leave? Please. It's like huge and it goes on forever. And then Jolly Ranchers, I mean, those were just the most amazing thing when I was a kid. That was
every
green was the one. Like, I don't know when you came up, but green was the only thing anybody cared about when I was a kid. The third one, the third whiskey, I'm trying to figure out what it reminds me of. So I haven't discerned the smell, and I'm waiting for that. I'll pray about this.
You That's guys, what we say. On. Whenever we think about a thing in life, we're like, just pray about it, dude. Like, just pray about it.
A whiskey you want to pray over is not necessarily a bad experience.
That's a special thing in life.
This whiskey is making me want to get on my knees for a minute, send up a little prayer.
I want to pray for you today. Yeah.
I think that's a good segue into something I want to try on for size here, and that is Jelly Bellies.
Stop it.
Oh, for this, the third one?
Yes.
Wait.
Now, y'all remember Jelly Bellies.
Oh,
I don't know why I'm saying y'all. It's probably because of the talk of the South.
Because of the Nathan?
Nathan? You remember? Y'all remember Jelly Bellies?
You mean because you're tasting it in the whiskey? Or because you're like, cool, Jelly Bellies are the bomb?
What is everyone's...
You like Jelly Bellies. That's why you're bringing it up.
What is everyone's least favorite Jelly Belly flavor?
Oh, gotcha. Oh.
I always thought you were going to say buttered popcorn.
Buttered popcorn. It's my favorite Jelly Belly flavor, but I've never met. Do you guys like buttered popcorn Jelly Bellies?
That's exactly what this tastes like.
I know it is exactly what it tastes like. It is exactly what it tastes like.
Like it's a slightly artificial, it's slightly fake, and it doesn't.
It's not actually buttered popcorn. Yeah.
I super don't mind because I love it.
Which is the whole thing about Jelly Bellies.
It's like the Chardonnay of the whiskey world, really.
It's like at the end of Harry Potter when, what's his face? Old gray man?
Dumbledore.
Come on. Old gray man.
He's like, I got earwax as a child, but I'll try it one more time.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And
he's like,
he takes it and he's like, oh, this one's dirt. What? What was it? What
I don't remember.
Alas, it's.
But I feel like that's what J.K. Rowling was writing about. She was writing about the buttered popcorn Jelly Belly, which I always loved, but people don't like it.
Why do you want a jelly bean that tastes like a savory object?
So, you can just eat buttered popcorn. Jelly bean, you're going to have a snack anyways. Why not reach for the real thing?
Can I say, Jack, if you don't want this to be recorded, cool. But what is your experience with whiskey and where do you come from? Because, like, I am so interested in your experience with it.
Not you, Chris.
Same. I would echo that.
Stop.
So I was writing I was like trying to create the website, which is going to be 3bd.xyz. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, I got to write bios. So I like wrote my like 3-sentence bio and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I wrote Chris's and I was like, Chris has been into whiskey ever since Jack asked him to be on the podcast.
So true.
Asked him to care about it.
So true.
So I guess for me, it started, I had a bunch of friends that were into whiskey and I just was like sort of by proxy enjoying it with them.
Yeah.
Bullet was probably my introduction to bourbon and whiskey in general.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then I had some good friends that were all into it. And then the past couple of years, I've just gotten really into like more about it. So I've been watching a YouTube channel called The Whiskey Vault. And so
I
learn a lot about it through that. That's kind of where I come. That's like where my philosophy about it doesn't matter how you drink it. That really comes from them. That's one of the things that they push a lot.
Cool.
I have a really good memory, which is part of the problem / maybe it's an asset.
Yeah.
So I can tell you things about things. And oftentimes I don't actually know if they're true because I don't trust my memory. But
I don't either. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So I guess my experience has grown in the last like probably 3 years where I went from just appreciating it to like understanding nuance.
Yeah.
And I think I'm at a place now where I could tell you where something comes from just by tasting it. Or like, you know, where it originates and what kind of, I don't know, like, I don't want to go too far because I don't want to be wrong, but at the same time, I don't care. So I think one of these is Wild Turkey. I think the third one is either going to be really young or really old. It's like in that weird space. But because I know, so the way that we're orchestrating these tastings, so I've asked some people online to like help us orchestrate the tastings and most of them just said what you're asking for is not possible, because if you're the one asking, you can't then have a blind tasting in which you are the one that making it happen, right? Yeah. So I called my friend Billy and I said, hey, can you help me with this? Like, you know whiskey, you have an idea, you like theming things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I do want to do that. That sounds really fun. So he just like, I gave him carte blanche. I said, go out, buy some whiskey. We want you to average $50 a bottle. So if one costs $100, I want you to, the next one to cost $0, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it could be expensive, could be cheap, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And so he's been the one orchestrating this. So he's picked these three, and then my wife transferred them into these bottles.
Cool.
And she called him and was like, what order should they be? Should it be this? And he's like, yes, that's the exact same order I was thinking. So whatever the order is, it's apparent.
It was meant to be that way.
Like, they both looked at it and said, it must be this way.
That's right. Cool.
Do we need to name the third guy?
Yeah, we definitely need to name the third guy.
Not to tell you your business.
Can I call him Poirot?
Poirot.
I mean, I think it's buttered popcorn.
Sure.
Or no, do you want to call it buttered Perot?
Yes, I do. No.
He's got a big belly, yeah. Right? Jelly belly.
Buttered Poirot.
I got things that I love, and one of the things that I love is Agatha Christie and Poirot, and this is my favorite one that we've tasted tonight. Doesn't mean it's the best, but this is my favorite.
Listen, I was going to say you are our guests this evening, but it's closer to the truth that we are your guests.
Oh,
but stop. Nonetheless, I am totally up for calling it hot buttered Poirot.
Hot buttered Poirot.
Nah, you got to call it rum. Hot buttered rum. Hot buttered rum. That's what we call it.
No, it's
hot buttered
Poirot.
It's too late. It's too late.
All right, so we have...
If you want to be really obscure.
We have...
Stinging nettles?
The first whiskey we tried. Is called
Stinging Nettles.
Stinging Nettle, what we're calling Stinging Nettle. Whiskey number two.
Green Jolly Rancher.
Green Jolly Rancher. You could add sour apple in there somewhere if you want.
If you want.
Or just green.
Or just jolly.
It's indiscriminate green flavor.
It's green. It's more green flavor than it is sour apple.
Exactly.
Flavor.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
That's right. It's flavored like green, the color green. And then the last one is hot buttered Poirot.
We can call it rum. We cannot be weird about it. I'm the only weird one that loves Agatha Christie.
It's good.
Some subconscious connection between this whiskey and Poirot.
Yeah.
We don't need to know what it is.
If this is
a French whiskey, it's going to be amazing.
Will laugh.
The next thing we're going to do is we're going to call Billy and we're going to say, WTF, bro.
For the big reveal.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Billy. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. We just finished three whiskeys that some guy picked for us.
And how'd that go?
It went pretty well. They're about half gone from those bottles you got.
Nice.
So we have named each of them. Number one, we're calling Stinging Nettles.
Okay.
Number two, we're calling Green Jolly Rancher.
Green Jolly Rancher.
And, and number three, our coup de grace, is called Hot Buttered Poirot.
some great names. You got
that very well. So will you reveal to us what they are?
Yes. I believe I still know the order. So, number one, if you're ready.
Oh, we're ready.
Absolutely.
Woo!
Number one is Larceny.
Okay.
Which is a weeded whiskey.
Yep. Your favorite.
From whence does it come?
Yes, always partial to weeded whiskey. As apparently are you with your stinging nettle.
Yeah.
What is a weeded whiskey?
It just means it has... some portion of wheat in it instead of barley.
Oh, wheat head. Yeah. I thought you were saying weeded.
You just said the same two words.
Like, I weeded the lawn.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
A weeded.
Weeded. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
Number two?
Number two is from St. George, and it is their Breaking and Entering.
Okay. Ooh. That's interesting.
It's a great name.
And
number
three, if you're ready.
We're ready. It's hot buttered.
Number three is the Whistlepig Old World.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yes.
May I ask the origin?
Larceny, Breaking and Entering, and Whistlepig.
Wow.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This was a great tasting.
Yes.
It's delicious. Yes. Thank you.
So, a wheated, a standard, that's a blend, and then a rye. Do you have any guesses as to what this week's theme is?
So we've got a weeded bourbon that's larceny, and then a blended St. George.
Which is called Breaking and Entering.
Sounds like they're all crimes. And the rye is, what's the name of it? It's Whistlepig.
Old World.
Old World, Breaking and Entering. It sounds like a heist.
Yeah.
You're two-thirds of the way there.
Old World Heist.
Skip the Old World part of the name.
Heist.
Heist is not part of the name.
What's our theme this week?
It is cops and robbers.
Oh, that's great.
Whistlepig.
You're clever.
Oh, that's great.
All right. We're looking forward to having you on next week.
All right.
Happy
drinking, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, man. Bye. Wow. That's cool.
That's cool.
Do you know the origin of each of these?
I do. Okay. So number one, larceny. I think that's Heaven Hill. It's a wheated bourbon. Wheated just means that there's some portion of wheat in the mash. Heaven Hill is a really big, really, really big in Kentucky. They own like every bourbon they own a lot of the bourbons that you've heard of.
Okay.
I don't know for sure off the top of my head. I want to say it's like Eagle Rare and those. No, that's Eagle Rare is Wild Turkey. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they're kind of like a little bit lower end. They're kind not budget, but they're like, you know, nice.
Yeah.
Number two was St. George is a California distillery. They're based out of Oakland, I think.
Oh, cool.
And nice. He said it's a blend, which means it could be come from anywhere. So I just found their single malt, which is supposed to be really nice. That's how I paid Billy to get this done for us.
Oh, cool.
And then number three, Whistlepig is a great, they make rye. They make everything Whistlepig makes. I like, it's one of the few ryes that my wife likes. Because ryes can be really spicy and aggressive, and they're usually very mellow and interesting.
Interesting.
And their lead distiller guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but like in the past year or two, he's like died, and people have been really like celebratory of his company because he did such a good job, and they want to carry on that legacy and make really cool stuff.
Based out of?
Vermont, I think.
Okay. Oh, wow. Cool. So we have all U.S.
These are all U.S.
whiskeys.
Cool. That's awesome.
So very clever theme.
Does Kaylee win because she liked that last one, the Whistlepig, usually like everything from? And do we lose because we didn't like it as much? Is there a winner? That's what I mean. Are we losers now?
No one's a loser. I liked this and you liked that. That's all it comes down to. That's the Irish way.
Okay, so now we're going to choose who is a winner and who's a loser.
So now we're going to take one of these glasses and we're going to pour a little bit. So this is called, I'm holding up the milk jug. And this is, this is called an infinity bottle. So this has four whiskeys that we drank first. We made this blend out of those four Glenmorangies. So we're all going to I'm going to pour just a little bit in here. Because there's not a lot to pour. Just so we can all have a little smell and taste.
Whatever I can get.
Back when we were about to record our very first test episode, Who Shall Not Be Named Voldemort, Jack was like, you're going to want to bring a clean bottle with you.
Clean glass bottle, I said.
Clean glass bottle. Now, given that we were drinking whiskey, I totally should have thought, oh, it's a whiskey bottle he wants me to bring. However, I didn't think that. No. I thought, okay, what glass bottle do I have in my cabinet? And what I had was a little, what would you call that? Like a half pint, maybe?
Yeah.
Milk jug. So that is now our infinity glass that we will build.
So you can get, there's four Glenmorangies that you can get in like a sampler pack. It's like 25 bucks or something. Cool. So we made this out of that. Nice. It's mostly the Glenmorangie 10.
Man, like the peat or the brine or whatever
that
is.
I'm getting the smoke.
Yeah. I'm getting the smoke, and right. I love it.
Okay, so the question is,
keep that
what do you want, if anything, do you want to add to that from what we've had tonight?
Ooh, I would add a little sweetness, but not so much that it overwhelms that amazing smoke that I just tasted.
I think that the third one will not, which is what?
Maybe
Whistlepig
will not overpower what's going on in that crazy mixture going on in that bottle.
Might be interesting.
I like whatever bizarre mixture of stuff I tasted in the Infinity bottle, though.
So you think if we add a little three to that, we're not going to ruin it.
Yeah.
We might make it better.
All right. That's all she wrote.
We're going to do a little taste.
Into it.
I totally think we made it better.
You think it made it better?
Am I crazy? So there's a very, I loved the Glenmorangie because there's this very distinct, maybe it's smokiness, but it's, if it is smokiness, it's a very distinct kind of smoke.
Yeah.
That just, man, I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the way you describe the islands of Scotland, that it just tastes like the briny deeps to me in the best possible way that could taste.
Yeah.
The butteriness really rounded that flavor out, and it's still interesting, but it's perhaps a little bit more approachable.
Approachable. I love that.
What do you think?
I agree. I think it's a good analysis. So Chris wants to call the ending of our show, the like last shot.
Mm.
Into it.
Or
the parting glass.
The parting glass.
Of all the money.
Wait, so before we decide what we're calling this, there is one last question I wanted to ask Nate and Kaylee Highfield, particularly because we talked about Irish folk songs.
Yep.
What is your favorite Irish folk song?
Dear Lord.
It might be the parting glass.
Parting glass is the favorite. Mm. Of all the money I've ever spent, I've spent it in good company. And fill to me the parting glass, you know, like, excellent. But there's also Whiskey, You're the Devil, You're Leading Me Astray, Over Hills and Mountains, and To a Mary Kay, which means America. You're not sweeter, stronger, decenter, you're spunkier than tea. Whiskey, you're the darling, drunk or sober.
Sorry. You're my darling. I totally botched that.
No. Whiskey, you're my darling, drunk or sober. Anyway.
I want to give everyone one last chance to say something before we sign off.
Okay.
I'll start to take the pressure off. Here's my parting word. There is a hole in the right toe of my sock.
That drives me insane. Dang.
Chris is now showing us
the hole. Can I follow that with my parting word?
Yes. Yeah.
I lived with holes in my socks for, I don't know, most of my life. And only in the last maybe 2 years have I started throwing socks away. I'm not joking. And it has made my life qualitatively and in a very calculable way better. And I don't know why I felt those annoying feelings in my feet for so long. But I got to recommend to anybody, throw away the holy socks, because it will make a difference. And he's taking off his sock right now.
Yep.
And he threw it in my trash can.
In the trash can. Get rid of it. Buy new socks.
Trust me, that's a great move, man.
Wow. I feel great, actually. I feel like a load has been lifted. Excellent advice.
So my parting sock advice.
My parting sock advice.
Is that high socks are not to be avoided. Because you just might find out that you like something new.
So true. So true.
Any sock advice, Kaylee?
Gosh, I don't know about socks. my sock advice is that I was like, buy some new ones and you'll be like comfortable.
She gave me the advice to throw away my socks. So that helped.
Life changing.
Oh, yeah. To me, no. The parting sock.
The holy sock.
You know?
Okay, cool.
I don't know about socks.
So I'm going to wrap it up by saying what we always say, which is always being one other time. which is drink slowly and get to know one another.